do the research, filter out the crap, add some opinion, and fire it up for you on the drive home. Headlines start now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Headlines, brought to you by Glenmore Audi. You drive by our state-of-the-art terminal building, the glow of the Audi LED ring grabs the corner of your eye, and you wonder who we are. Stop by. We'd love to meet you.
Later on in the hour, our friend Eric Dehatchuk from the Globe and Mail, globesports.com as well. We'll have a double shot of Will on a Friday. Who doesn't need a double shot of Will? I'm not sure if Peter Klein's coming in. I haven't been a...
You'll be joining us over the phone.
Okay, so we will have both Peter and Will joining us here in a little while because, of course, they anchor our coverage over the weekend. But right now, the aforementioned Will Nall brings us our headlines.
Game day for the Flames. They are in Arizona, second half of a back-to-back tonight against those Coyotes. And last night, the Flames blew a three-goal lead but did come back to tie the game late in the contest at 5 and eventually win 6-5 in a shootout. So the game goes long, and they're back at it again. But head coach Bob Hart Hartley says back-to-backs are all mental.
It's a mental challenge. And we're fresh. That's what I just came out of meeting and told the players, we're fresh. Like, that's our mindset. If you think you're tired, you're going to be tired. Like, obviously, we know, we came in late, but that's part of the schedule. We know the schedule since July, and we prepared for this. So those are great athletes. They take care of themselves, and we're ready to play.
And, sorry, go ahead.
What makes you think I was going to say anything?
You took a little breath.
I know. I was just breathing.
Coming to the game last night in relief of an injury, Jonas Hiller will get the start tonight. Mm-hmm. But, Rob, really the big story and the worst news for the Flames today is coming from the game last night as Kari Rummel was involved in a collision late in the game. It did not return. He was helped off the ice. It didn't look good. And Hartley didn't really provide an update on Rummel, but he has been placed on injured reserve today by the Flames. And according to the coach, it doesn't look good. As a result, the injury, the team has recalled Joni Ortio. He will serve as the backup to Hiller tonight in Glendale.
Yeah, I mean, it appears on the surface that we're not talking about a day-to-day injury. It's either week-to-week or month-to-month, but we'll let the Flames make that determination once they've been able to properly check out Kari Rummel. And it's a tough injury. It's a tough break. We'll see what happens. I think it's got an influence on a lot of things, quite honestly. Maybe none bigger than Kari Rummel's future. Where does he go if he's not able to come back this year? He doesn't get a chance to play till late in the season. Does that impact on his free agency or how other teams view him or how the Calgary Flames view him? I can't speak to that. That's for other teams to determine. But there is an influence there and there is an impact there. The other part of that is now Jonas Hiller, who has not had a great season by any stretch of the imagination at all. Now is your de facto number one with Joni Ortio backing up. We saw this pairing earlier on in the season when Kari Rummel got demoted when the Flames were carrying three goalies. But, we all know that once the injuries took place and everybody got healthy, it was Joni Ortio going back to the American Hockey League. And it was Kari Rummel given the ball to run with. And that is where the faith is. And I talk about this often with Bob Hartley because it's an observation I have. And I don't view it as a criticism at all. I'm sure if we were talking about Todd McClellan or we were talking about Willie Desjardins or we were talking about Pete DeBoer, I think we'd all make the same observation. Coaches trust certain players. They just do. And I think the faith and the trust was in Kari Rummel. I don't know if right now there's a level of faith and trust in Hiller and Ortio. They have to go out and prove that. One of them has to grab the ball and run with it. Now, having said all of that, I salute Jonas Hiller. I think last night, we'll talk about it with Eric Dehatchuk. I think what he did last night is one of the most difficult things to ask a professional athlete to do. I don't care what the sport is. I don't care what the scenario is. I think going in completely cold in the final 3 minutes of a hockey game, facing a full 2 minute 5-on-3, getting through that, going through overtime, and eventually winning the game in the shootout, I think, plain and simple, bottom line, that is one of the hardest accomplishments to achieve as an athlete. And on one day, I would hope that, if anybody was doubting Jonas Hiller in that locker room, they'll never admit they were or they weren't, but if anybody was, I hope that helped rebuild the bridge. And I hope it gives Jonas Hiller some confidence. I really do. I didn't think he was very good against Toronto. I really don't. And I think that's part of the reason Ramo got the start last night. But now he is the man. And if Joni Ortio gets a chance, then Joni Ortio. You, see, it's funny it's you and I talking about this, because I told you way back at the season, you sent out a tweet and it irked me. Remember when I got irked? You irked
me. Yeah, I.
And you said, you know, look at Kai Ramo, or, you know, he's kind of run with this opportunity. He's kind of
where the team would be without him.
And I countered, well, we don't know. I mean, what if Joni Ortio was given that same opportunity? Kai Ramo took the ball and ran with it. Both of these goalies, and it'll be Jonas Hiller first, have an opportunity to take this ball and run with it. And quite honestly, it's going to have a huge, and if they can or they can't, either way, it's going to have a huge determination on where they're playing hockey next year. Because if neither one looks like an NHL goalie the rest of the way, maybe they're not in the NHL next year. If Joni Ortio gets the ball and he runs with it and stands on his head and puts his team in the playoff spot, then maybe he's coming back next year with somebody else. Because I still, right now, all due respect to an injured Kai Ramo, think that the Calgary Flames goaltending situation for the future is still in flux.
We'll wait and see what Jonas Hiller does tonight. Puck drop goes at 7 o'clock.
Also, no David Jones.
Yeah,
David Jones
miss his first game of the season. He took a puck off the knee last night, and pretty unfortunate for him as well. He is also a pending UFA. Don't know the long-term status of his injury, but you're hoping it's just a bone bruise, and maybe he'll be back at some point next week. Puck drop tonight in Glendale, Coyotes and Flames. You can catch all the action on Rogers Calgary Flames Hockey beginning at 6 with Flames warm-up right here on Sportsnet 960. To the Fan. You can also watch it on Sportsnet West. Six other games on the NHL ice tonight, and two of them I want to quickly talk about. The first one is at Madison Square Garden between the Rangers and the Kings, and I say that because the Kings are turning to Peter Budaj tonight. Yep. He hasn't played an NHL game since April of 2014, and the Rangers are going with Antti Raanta, who hasn't made a start, who hasn't played since January 17th, hasn't made a start since December 17th, so a big opportunity in New York for both those goaltenders on both sides.
Well, I would say bigger for Peter Budaj than for Antti Raanta. Life behind Henrik Lundqvist, King Henrik, is what it is. I mean, he's one of the elite goaltenders in the National Hockey League. So, you know, Raanta, it's funny though, Raanta historically has been very good in home games. See how that works out. No, the story to me is Los Angeles right now. No Jonathan Quick. Jonas Enroth got lit up last night by the Islanders. So Peter Budaj, who got recalled on emergency basis from the Ontario Reign of the American Hockey League, he gets the start. You know, if nothing else, you would assume Budaj, who's kicked around the league for a long time, won't get, you know, nervous on the big stage. The Kings are the type of team that I think are capable of elevating their goaltending. They don't have to because they've got Jonathan Quick, but I still believe they're a good enough team that, you know, they can, on a given night, can elevate. Now, they didn't last night against the Islanders. What a weird couple of days, you know. You blow out the Boston Bruins and Milan Lucic's return to Boston, and then you get blown out last night. And I remember saying to you, look at that game.
Nine goals won't be scored in that one.
Well, guess what? There were a lot of goals scored in that
one.
So we'll see what Budaj's got.
Also with the Rangers off the ice, defenseman Ryan McDonagh, he did skate today on his own prior to the morning skate. He's still recovering from a concussion sustained February 6th against the Flyers. He's missed games this week against the Devils and Penguins, and it looks like he's getting closer to a return, so that's a big boost for the Rangers when, in fact, he does come back. The Rangers have won twice without him, and they carry a four-game win streak into tonight's game. 3 points up on the third-place Islanders in the Metropolitan Division. As we mentioned, the Kings hoping to bounce back after last night's loss in Brooklyn. To Buffalo we go, but we'll stick with the visitors as the Montreal Canadiens goaltender Carey Price back on the ice today. Yep. 40 straight minutes again, Rob, but again, no equipment either. Head coach Michel Therrien asked for an update after practice.
There's no update. He's not like the next stage that we could start and make any comment. The one thing that I know, he's putting a lot of hours and he's working extremely hard to make the comeback.
You still have your confidence he'll be back this season?
Yeah.
So no truth.
But there's going to be, you know what, there's going to be a lot of speculation. People will speculate about what I hear from different people, but that's our market, you know. We know We know what's going on with Carey. It takes more time, obviously, than we were expecting. But like I just said, you know, he's working extremely hard, and he's putting a lot of hours to make sure that he's going to make that comeback. And the fact that he's working extremely hard, it's not to make sure that he's going to look good this summer at the beach. He wants to come back and play for the Montreal Canadiens.
You heard in that clip, he was asked about a report today that comes out from a French language newspaper, La Presse, saying that the chances of Price returning this season are slim, that he has an injury to his right knee. And they also report that the Montreal Canadiens do not believe the injury for Carey Price will require surgery. But I don't know, Rob, where do you stand on the whole Carey Price
thing? I think Carey Price is hurt, legitimately really, really hurt. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know about surgery and things like that. I think this is a case of an athlete, you know, avoiding going under the knife for something more serious or whatever, just to try and rehab it and bring it back. But it just seems like week after week, we keep watching him, you know, in a tracksuit skating around, and he's not getting to that next level, which is putting the equipment on. This is the most important thing in all of this. The Montreal Canadiens and Carey Price have to do what's best for him. What is best for him. And if that means not playing for the rest of the year, shutting him down, absolutely. That's the right decision. I just look and, you know, it's just an observation, but it just seems to me like it's an athlete that's just trying to keep it alive, wanting to come back, doing everything. You know, who knows? Maybe it's a case that there is no surgery, that, you know, it's just got to be one of those injuries that when it feels better, he can go. If that's the case, so be it. But Therrien did talk about the fact the market they play in. They're speculating. Everybody's speculating right now. What I don't believe is happening is that this is some sort of, you know, facade, you know, perpetrated by Carey Price and the Canadians to somehow give false hope that he'll come back. Who does that? Nobody does that. You got an injured player, you got an injured player, right? That's, you know, Jaden Schwartz was gone for almost 50 games for the St. Louis Blues. They missed him. They didn't put on some sort of air of him coming back or being there to sell tickets. It doesn't work that way. Biggest thing is with that guy, he's got to be healthy. And 100%, not 70 or 60 or, you know, 95. He's got to be 100% healthy when he comes back.
The Habs have won 10 of 32 games without Carey Price this season. The Winnipeg Jets have reassigned Connor Hellebuck to the AHL's Manitoba Moose, the team announcing that this morning. The talented rookie goaltender is 13-11-1 on the season with a .234 goals against average, .918 save percentage, and 2 shutouts. And the 22-year-old on a 2-way contract, so he did not have to clear waivers.
Right.
And Hellebuck's demotion, obviously a response to Andre Pavlak being activated today off of injured reserve.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe if you're playoff team or whatever, you're going to have a far more
difficult decision.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at it in terms of wins. I mean, he's 23rd in the National Hockey League, you know, which is not bad considering how bad that team has been. You know, in terms of goals against, he's 28th. He's got a pretty good save percentage. There's nothing that says to me this kid isn't going to be an everyday NHLer, but kind of like what John Gibson has gone through, kind of like what some other people have gone through, younger goalies. You know, considering where Winnipeg is, go let him play in the American Hockey League. Go get him, let him get starts and all of that. Take the pressure off of, you know, whatever playoff hopes they have or whatever they're trying to resurrect the rest of this season. Although it's weird, it's not like you're sending him to Peoria. He stays in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
So, the pressures and all
goes
the stories.
Across the hall.
It's still, exactly. All that stuff is still there. What I am really interested is what, you know, when he first got brought up, you know, I asked the question, is this the guy that's going to play goal for the under-23 team at the World Cup? And I still think he's in that conversation along with John Gibson. I don't think he's done anything to take himself out of that conversation.
The Vancouver Canucks are going to play their next string of games without two pretty significant players.
No kidding.
We knew kind of it wasn't going to be great for Alexander Edler as he blocked a shot in Denver last week. And today, news confirmed by the team, he'll be out 6 weeks with a lower body injury. And forward Brandon Sutter, a tough, tough first season for him in Vancouver. Just when he gets back from a long absence with a sports hernia, he's going to miss the next 6 to 8 weeks after undergoing successful surgery to repair a broken jaw.
Yeah, you got to feel for Brandon Sutter. It's not been the move to the West Coast that he hoped for. I hope that Canucks fans are patient, because I really do believe when that guy's healthy and in your lineup all the time, he can be a difference maker. And Alex Edler, you know, it's another veteran defenseman. They played most of the season, or part of the season, without Dan Hamhuis, and now without Alex Edler. Interesting to see what impact, if that has any, on this team. I mean, they had these injuries, yet they still managed to find ways to win in Colorado and Arizona. They're picking up points. They're in it right now. You got to think they're in a better position than Calgary is. But, you know, what happens towards the trade deadline? Trevor Linden and Jim Benning and that organization have done a really kind of understated job, maybe, I don't know, underappreciated job, what the right term is. Done a really nice job. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Of getting younger on the fly. You know, Bo Horvat, he's a top-end prospect. Now, Emerson Edom, Sven Berge, Lyndon Vay, you know, I don't know if they're top-end prospects, but they're young and you know, they're NHL guys, and they're doing that on the fly. I wonder what Vancouver thinks about on the 29th. You know, if there's a lot to be done, if there's a lot of people looking for things, could they ship out some more veterans and bring some more youth in? I think they'd like to, but, you know, what if they're close? You know, I really deny that whole theory of, well, you know, if you're close, you still got to make the hard choice about, no, it's a hard league to win in. It's a hard league to be in the playoffs in. And I think if you're close, you know, maybe you're a little bit limited. Look, Calgary last year, they were close, but they managed to move out some veterans. But they were all, the thing that people forget, and I think sometimes conveniently forget about Calgary, is the Flames were in on things too. They just didn't come to fruition. Right, I'm curious to see what Vancouver does here in the next couple of weeks.
Rapid fire as we close out headlines today.
Oh, Matt, no, you can take as much time as you want today. Yeah, I don't mind squeezing the next guest.
Well, in that case, I want to play this clip because I think it's...
I don't mind squeezing the next guest, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Kobe Bryant, by the way,
please,
is going to play his final All-Star game this weekend in Toronto. The festivities begin tonight with a Rising Stars game, which involves Canadians Andrew Wiggin and Dwight Powell. But Kobe Bryant, feeling a little old right now.
Pretty cool. I mean, I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing, you know, guys that I'm playing with that are tearing the league up that were like four when my first All-Star, you know, and it's truly, I mean, it's, you know, how many players can say they played 20 years and actually have seen the game go through three, four generations?
And yeah, Kobe Bryant's not an All-Star this season, Rob, but I still think it's pretty cool that he gets a send-off and plays his final All-Star game and everybody's kind of in the same spot at the same time.
So which is the better way of doing business, John Scott or Kobe Bryant?
It's been brought up before. It's a great point. To me, I think it's better Kobe Bryant, and I'll say that because he was a legitimate All-Star for, you know, 95% of his career.
You're honoring a legend. You're honoring a Hall of Famer. He's going on, you know, one of those retirement tours. I mean, if you watch basketball, you know that any place he plays in...
It's a big thank you at the end.
Right. And, didn't they do that in Toronto already?
Yeah,
and recently they did it in Indiana and some other places. You know, the John Scott one was so organic that I think you'll fail miserably if you try and replicate that. But I think in the case of a Kobe Bryant, you know, a Derek Jeter, whatever, when you have those caliber of players that are doing that victory lap, that final tour, that final year, I think you can get away with it. And you're right. I mean, you know, although watching the Lakers, he's not that far off from still being their best player.
Yeah, the valid point.
Yeah. But, no, you know, the reverence in which the players hold him in, that's respect, and I think that's very cool.
Matt Forte, not returning to the Chicago Bears for a ninth season. The two-time Pro Bowl running back announced on Instagram on Friday morning, which is today, that the team has informed him they'll not offer him a contract for next season. The Bears went on to confirm it with GM Ryan Pace calling him one of the all-time great Bears. Forte will be a free agent and can sign with any team beginning on March the 9th. He was drafted in the second round back in 2008, ran for over 1,000 yards in five of his eight seasons in Chicago, and racked racked up 64 touchdowns, both through the air and on the ground. It's a pretty significant piece moving on. Chicago wants to get younger, though. Forte will turn 31 next season. So an aging running back, usually not really one that comes back on a new contract.
I know. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in a way, I'm kind of amazed with, and not the same, but Adrian Peterson was able to return the way he did this year.
Yep.
That's the exception, not the rule. I think somebody will give Forte another opportunity. And what I am curious about is, can he adapt? Can he become something different? Can he become a short yardage back or a blocking back? Or you know what I mean? Can he add something? Can he go away from being a featured back, I guess, to another role and in another offensive scheme? You know, maybe if you're somebody who you think you're close and you just need over the hump, I mean, maybe this is the most lopsided wrong, but does a team like Carolina look at him going, you know, that might not be a bad investment?
Yeah, and I was going to say New England, too.
They love you. See, what they'll do is they'll get him to 2,000 yards this year. That's how New England will do it.
They'll score 16 touchdowns.
That's right. They'll approach it completely from a different angle.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want to mention this story because it's very bizarre. Is this story
we got nothing but time.
Major League Baseball today. New York Mets reliever Andre Mejia has received a lifetime ban for his third performance-enhancing substance violation. He was previously suspended 80 games on April 11th for a positive test, an additional 162 games on July 28th for two back-to-back positive tests for the same drug, and he's the first ever player to receive a lifetime ban for a third PED offense, a rule the MLB put in place in 2005, and Mejia and the Mets settled on a one-year contract worth $2.47 million last month. So a bizarre story for Major League Baseball. He's just 26 years old.
Oh, I eagerly await his Player Tribune article. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Of all of the leagues and all of the drug testing policies, the one that has probably been maligned the most has been baseball, yet this guy manages to get caught three times and now earned a lifetime ban. I got no sympathy, none whatsoever. I know, you know, there's lots of cultural issues and you know, where the stories are varied on how they get involved, but you get caught once, okay. You know, we all believe in second chances. You get caught twice. This time you really got to get the message. Third strike, you're out. Sorry, it's baseball. It's a baseball metaphor. Third strike, you're out.
Canadian legend Bret Hart is on the long road to recovery after undergoing successful surgery for prostate cancer. He posted this morning on Instagram. He thanked his doctor, the nursing staff at Rocky View Hospital here in Calgary for an outstanding job. He thanked his family, his friends, and fans for the love and support, adding that things are looking up and he's expected to be home in the next few days. And I know that certainly everybody here at Sportsnet 960 The Fan are thinking about Bret Hart and wishing him all the best on his road to recovery.
I had a chance to spend a little time with his brother Bruce yesterday, and I know Bruce is really worried, you know, is, you know, really shook up by what happened here in the next little while, and everybody's hoping for the best, and you know, it's been a tough go. You know, all I can say is thank you to the people that were listening yesterday that took advantage of the prostate cancer opportunity this morning. They tweeted out a picture. I think I retweeted it. If not, I should have. But a bunch of guys went up there, got the free breakfast, got the baseline test, got the rose, and then signed the card. So, you know, he is a Calgary Institute. Look, I don't care about the rest of the world. I only care about Calgary right now. He's a Calgary institution. The family's a Calgary institution. You know, there's a lot of support. He's the namesake of the junior franchise, all of these things. I don't know if you saw Brad Crowe was talking about it. The Hitmen are going to be using a certain, it's kind of a soft blue tape, you know, for
which
awareness.
Which is the prostate color, I believe.
Right, for the rest of the year on his behalf. So, you know, I hope he's healthy. I hope everybody who's, you know, diagnosed with this disease can get healthy. I don't want to pick one over the other. But I hope that if anything comes out of this, a little better awareness for us here in Calgary and we cut down on the numbers.
And last but not least on headlines, ATB Financial Calgary Hitmen Hockey goes tonight at the Dome. It's Red Deer and Calgary, 7 o'clock faceoff. You can go to sportsnet.ca/960 to hear the call from Brad Curl and Ken Thrower.
8-point deficit, Hitmen behind the Red Deer Rebels. If they're going to catch them, they got to win this hockey game. It's a big weekend for Calgary. They're probably going to need some help in there, but it should be a hell of a hockey game.
Absolutely.
Well, This has been great. It's been fantastic. I feel for the guys coming up next because you really carved out their time. But that's what are we going to do?
We'll give Peter his 90-second rant when he comes back.
You explain it to him. That's all I say. You explain it to him. We will bring in the Young Bulls, Will Klein and Peter. Will Klein and Peter Nault. Oh, I'm big fans of these guys. Big fans of these guys. You know, no, I'm big, huge fans of both Peter Nault and Will Klein. Will Nault and Peter Klein, they'll be busy this weekend. We'll find out what they're up to. Eric the Hatchek's always busy. He'll join us at 4:45. Then on Inside Hockey, Brad Pascal, Flames assistant general manager and the de facto general manager of the Stockton Heat. We'll talk about the American Hockey League affiliate with Brad. That's coming up a little later on right here on your home of Rogers Calgary Flames Hockey, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Calgary Flames, your team. Anything they do on or off the ice is here first. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 headlines, brought to you by Glenmore Audi, where Audi's virtual cockpit puts the whole world front and center. Let us show you the world through the eyes of the all-new Q7. Heck, let's drive it together.
Calgary, the boys on the big show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hills has been very confident, I feel, in the past weeks, has given us some big games. Look at the game that he's given us in Vancouver. Hills is on top of his game right now. And last night, like going in a back-to-back, he already knew that he was starting tonight's game. Like we had sat with both goalies and we had told Ram that he was starting against the Sharks and against the Coyotes, Hills would start. So like it was part of the plan. And Hills came in last night, as we know, and played outstanding.
Bob Hartley, as he will give the starting job tonight to Jonas Hiller after Kai Rammo got hurt late in that game. Hiller came in and starred. Speaking of stars, two of the budding young stars here on the radio in Calgary, Will Nault and Peter Klein join me. Gentlemen, we don't have a lot of time because of the guy in the last segment just went long, but that's okay.
Who's that guy?
I don't know. What's on tap for you two this weekend? Where on this radio station are we going to hear both of you?
We're going to be our normal time tomorrow, 5 till 7 p.m. We'll be right to getting ready to go. We got all our normal programming set up for tomorrow's show, and we got snapshots coming up at 6 o'clock, which, of course, is the top 10 moments from the week in sports discussed between Peter and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, Rob, because we've talked about it a couple of times, very busy week in the CFL, so we're going to check in with our pal Justin Dunk of Sportsnet.ca.
Mr. Klein, are you going to get a chance at all to infuse the conversation with a little bit about the NBA All-Star Game in Toronto?
I'm certainly going to try, and I imagine I will be made fun of relentlessly for it, but I will give it my best go to talk about the NBA All-Star stuff that's going on in Toronto.
Dude, you mean you got a little grief earlier from a caller at 660 because you weren't doing enough Raptors? I mean, now it's a big weekend in Toronto. I mean, ESPN sent their programming up there. I'm watching everybody in Toronto that's got a television station is on location. This is a big deal. This looks like a lot of fun in Toronto.
Yeah, it does. It's one of the rare times where I kind of wish I was still in Toronto, but it's nice to see the Raptors and Toronto basketball in general kind of getting the recognition that they've deserved for a decade or so now. So it's nice to see the attention that it's bringing.
Well, and Will, we've talked about this. We've had Michael Grange on in the past. You know, you look at where we've come in terms of drafted players in the NBA and where the national program could be by 2020. An event like this is only going to continue to foster the growth of basketball in the country. This isn't, to me, the biggest thing I would say, guys, this isn't an oddity this time. This isn't, wait, look, it's in Canada. This is a basketball hotbed being rewarded with the NBA's big showcase. That's how I look at this.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, the last 2 years have kind of been disappointing when you're talking about the Toronto Raptors and their playoff exits. But, you know, I think the play of the Toronto Raptors has helped that as well over the past 3 years or so. I know the last couple of years, back-to-back, in fact, they've got, you know, 71 wins combined or something like that leading into the All-Star break, 36 last year, 35 this year. So they've been playing some good basketball. Obviously, a deeper playoff run would help with the countrywide growth when it comes to that nation, you know, growth of the game of basketball. But I think that certainly this All-Star game and putting them on the world stage, having all those, you know, television network south of the border here paying attention to your city, I think it's massive for not only Toronto but, like you said, Rob, countrywide, and I'm sure Peter would echo those thoughts.
Yeah, it kind of gives it like a big sport feel to it in Canada that it hasn't really had a whole lot, minus 4 to 7 games that we've seen in the playoffs. But a lot of the talk this weekend is about legitimizing the Raptors and the whole grand scheme of the basketball thing. And it's not going to be one all-star game that's going to do that or anything like that. It's going to be how they play in April, May, and God willing, in June as well.
I don't buy that narrative. I really don't. I think they are legitimized already. What I think this is the coming out for basketball in our country. Right? They're legitimate. And they've had the impact. That's what I'm talking about. The national team is full of their impact. The high school and college programs around this country, full of their impact. What this is I think the rest of the world's got to acknowledge that we are a basketball nation. Yes, we're a hockey nation. Okay. We're not necessarily yet a soccer nation, but we are a basketball nation. And I think this weekend takes a step in that direction.
See, I think we're a basketball nation in certain parts of the nation, but I still think, like, for example, out here, I still think that there's a lot of growth that can be done with the sport. And in a few other Western Canadian provinces, I think that there's some growth that needs to be done as well.
I don't disagree, but would you make the same categorization of Brazil or Argentina? Argentina. Because I think we look at Argentina as a legitimate basketball nation, do we not?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Right. But if you went to Argentina, I'm sure there's pockets. Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying we are the nation. I'm just saying, you know, I think back to those, you know, Jack Donahue coach teams with Kenny Shields and those guys that were just fighters and scrappers and, you know, and were technically really good and all of that. That was what we were. We were always kind of the periphery, and maybe if things broke our way, we'd be in on things. Now, I think, you know, part of becoming that basketball nation is raising the expectation. And I think what we did this past summer at the FIBA's, I think, is disappointing. You know, we got to get past
that. And the fact that it was disappointing kind of shows that we have grown. The fact that we expected them to go out and qualify for the Olympics. I remember when Canada lost in that last game, looking on Twitter, it's like, people were upset about this.
Yes.
Like, as much as they lost, but I kind of like that people were at least fired up about the tournament for a week.
Yes. And I, you know, it doesn't hurt when you got one of the world's largest musical acts or artists in Drake kind of endorsing it. That component comes in. I mean, that automatically gives you, I mean, if you were trotting out, God love him, Tommy Hunter, and, you know, I mean, or somebody like that, you know, this works. That nobody's going to turn this on and go, well, that's cute. No, this is where it should be.
No, I agree. It's, like I said, I still think there's more growth to be done in the sport nationwide, but I do think that this is a bit of a coming out party for the last little bit for how basketball has gone. And it's been nice to see, as someone who is a basketball guy, it's been nice to see things are slowly getting in the direction that I want them to be.
Well, one last time, because again, the guy before you really sewered you guys when it came to time this afternoon. When are we going to hear you? Because you guys are doing Saturday, but you also got a show on Monday, don't you?
I will be doing Monday solo, I believe, as I'll be hosting Hockey Central prior to Ducks and Flames. Of course, warm-up goes at 1 o'clock, puck drop at 2 from the Dome. But Saturday is 5 to 7, a normal time for Sportsnet Saturday. Peter and myself, we've got Justin Dunk as our only booked guest right now. We're probably going to track some more things down as well. But right now he is confirmed. He'll kick off the show with us. It's been a crazy busy week in the CFL with free agents and some big-name free agents changing teams. And we'll have snapshots, our favorite top 10 moments of the week in the world of sports. And I'll let Peter have the floor for about 10 minutes or so, and he can tell us all about All-Star Weekend.
No. You can do better than that. You can get him a guest. I want you to get him a guest. I want Peter to have a guest.
Okay.
That's what I want.
I appreciate that. I do think some basketball people will be a little busy at around that time, but we'll see what we can
do. Oh, God, you guys are never happy. Now, you're not happy with the time allotted. You're not happy with that. All right. Gentlemen, as always, I appreciate this. We will be listening on Saturday and again on Monday afternoon. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Peter Klein and Will Nault. They do an outstanding job for us on the weekend. They are the future. They are, I'm just keeping the seat warm. That's what I'm doing, just keeping the seat warm. We'll do that. We're live at Shanks here, Crowfoot Terrace in the Northwest. Just a couple of reminders about Shanks. They've got a great Valentine's Day special. If you want to come in on Valentine's Day, great place to bring your sweetie. I think $19.95, you got your choice of a meal. Take all good care of you. You watch whatever games are on that evening as well. Monday, Family Day, Calgary, taking on the Anaheim Ducks. If you're not going to the game, remember, you can bring the kids, you can bring the family here for Family Day on Monday afternoon to watch the Flames and the Ducks. Encourage you to do that. Shanks North, you can bring the kids in during the day. So great opportunity to do that on Family Day. We'll take a break. Eric DeHatchuk from the Globe and Mail. Some achievements, some guys in trouble, some things that need to be talked about, and maybe, just maybe, we might have coined, not us, but somebody might have coined a new phrase in hockey. We'll talk about that with Eric when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning. Ryan Pinder. The Jim Rome Show. Steinberg on Hockey Central. The Big Show with Rob Kerr. And every game for your Flames. We are Calgary Sports all the time. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
On the NHL beat, it's The Big Show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 hockey insider Eric DeHatchuk. Brought to you by Northwest Acura. All service appointments include a complimentary car wash and access to VIP courtesy vehicles. Newly renovated dealership, experienced staff. Northwest Acura.
Well, if you got an Acura from Northwest Acura, make you want to take it careful out there. It's been a crazy day, a little fog and a little freezing rain, so... on your way home, as you're listening to us, just slow down. We'll get you there. Eric DeHatchuk from the Globe and Mail joining us right now. I tend to avoid the local hockey stories with you because I think I want to look globally or around the league more often. But having said that, last night, just that whole situation in which Jonas Hiller found himself in, I find to be unique. And you could make an argument, I think, Eric, for one of the most difficult spots a professional athlete can come into. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely, Robin. You're the one who plays goal, not me. You are in a far better position to address that. But you're right. I mean, I thought Greg Millen on the broadcast summed it up very nicely, that, you know, he understands why there's no rule about a warm-up. But the hardest thing in the world is, you know, you've been watching for 57 minutes. You know, you're not expecting to go into the game. Essentially, you're basically a spectator in the game. And then you have to go in and not only perform, but perform under the most difficult situation, 5-on-3 power play, then the overtime, then the shootout. So, you know, like if you're thinking of a litany of bad things that can happen if you're a goaltender, you know, 1, 2, 3, we've just named them. So for him to come in, play as well as he did, you know, help the Flames steal a point, I'm not sure what playoff race they're in anymore, because I just think that San Jose is going to be home and cooled pretty quick, and the same with Anaheim. But, you know, the way things are going in the Central Division, those wild card spots are still up for grabs. So that's essentially what you're chasing right now. You're chasing Nashville for the final wild card spot. You know, I think 5 points is a lot to make up at this late stage of the season, but I think it is doable based on the struggles that Nashville's been having. So you're right. An exceptional performance. You know, you gain nothing if you give the 2 points back against Arizona tonight.
Right.
So, you know, and that's unfortunately what happens in the world of professional sport. You know, you can sit there and think to yourself, that was a heck of a hockey game last night. Fun to watch. Good result for the local heroes, as you like to call them. But they need another one tonight. And frankly, they need to win, you know, Monday against Anaheim. You know, I think what we need to do is, see where the dust settles middle of next week, you know, because you got Minnesota coming in. They haven't got their act together. Nashville's struggling. And I just have a hard time believing that Colorado can keep it going. You know, I just don't love their personnel right now. They've had a pretty good run of it. The fact that they're actually in the playoffs after the start that they had is pretty surprising to me. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that there are some vulnerable teams that, depending on, you know, on how Calgary fares in the next couple of months, that are catchable. And so let's see what happens.
Let's just stay in San Jose for a second, because I know you're working on a project and column on Joe Thornton. And I have to admit, you know, I've watched, you know, from the periphery what San Jose's been doing. But I kind of had my eyes open yesterday when I looked at Joe Thornton's numbers, the fact that he's 36. You watch him again last night. It just seems like Joe Thornton from 10 years ago, that, you know, he's still kind of critical on their power play, still kind of critical for offensive work that they do. He's got a real role on that team still.
Here's the thing, you know, like from the middle of December on, if I were to say to you, you know, name the, you know, the top five scorers in the National Hockey League from December 15th on, you'd probably get Sidney Crosby, because Crosby's moved up to sixth in the scoring race, and he's been great. But would you know that Joe Thornton and Pat Kane are tied for number two?
No, yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Exactly, you know, and I contacted my friend Bob Waterman at Elias Sports Bureau, because I have Thornton on my fantasy team. In fact, when I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago, you know, he's one of those guys that you can engage in fantasy. Not every player likes it. So I said, hey, you and Patty Marleau have been doing great guns for me in Pierre LeBrun's fantasy pool. And I said, the only problem is the guy that's chasing me has that guy over there, because Pavelski was walking by. And he said, Eric, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop passing the puck to him. we had a pretty good laugh over that. But no, I mean, he has been really good. I mean, points in 22 of his last 24 games. And, I have written a column on him that will run in the Globe and Mail tomorrow. And my premise, which I advanced to Peter DeBoer today, was that you know, for everything that Jaromir Jagr has done in the Eastern Conference this year, Joe Thornton has done the similar thing. And I said, to me, here are the parallels. I said, one, you know, they're guys who are sort of nearing the end of their careers. I mean, they're 1-2 in terms of active players' career points.
Mm-hmm.
They have this joie de vivre about them. They still love the game. You know, like, how do you play at a high level at 36 in Thornton's case, or in Jagr's case at 43? You just have to want to do it. You know, like a lot of players, once they get 20 years in, you can just see that their enthusiasm for the game, for all of the things that the game demands, you do. It just leeches out of them, you know, and that's not the case with Thornton. And then, you know, there's the fact that they're both these big-bodied types that play the half wall and protect the puck so well. You can't get it off of them. And then when they do, you know, they, you know, dip this way, they dip that way, they dip this way, they dip that way, and then they make that perfect pass. And, you know, the pass from Thornton to Marleau yesterday is a perfect example of that. I mean, you know, he managed to create space for himself, which he can still do, and then he shot it right onto Marleau's stick on the ice in the net. And he's just been doing that for year after year after year. I mean, you know, of all of the players, the highest point total, you know, and Kane has a chance to get this, since the 2004-2005 lockout is the year that Thornton had coming out of that lockout, where he got traded from Boston to San Jose. And I think it's very easy to sometimes look past these guys, because I know he's had a reputation in the past. People think you can't win with Joe Thornton, he doesn't care. That's not true. No one competes harder than he does. Some of those playoff years, you know, he's played with broken bones, separated shoulders, doesn't tell anybody, refuses to acknowledge it. He plays hard. He really cares about winning. But more than anything else, he has the same love for the game that Jagr does. And, you know, I know, because we talked about it, that he wants to play for as long as he can. He has this year and next year left on his contract. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he didn't want to go down this path. But I know that, you know, his wife is from Switzerland. His kids, you know, are, you know, Swiss and Canadian and American, and he's played in Davos a couple times. I remember visiting him with him and Nash in Davos when they were there in 2004 or 2005. It wouldn't surprise me at all when the last, you know, chance happens in the National Hockey League, if he wouldn't take his family to Switzerland for a couple of years and play there too. Just cares enough.
Sure.
He just loves it. You know, he's a lifer. And so, like I said, all these things I've sort of, you know, stitched together in a column. And the reason why I wanted to talk to Peter DeBoer about it was because, of course, DeBoer had Jagr for the better part of 2 years. And he said, the only thing different is that, you know, that Jagr is single, doesn't have a family. So for him, hockey is 24/7. And, you know, with Joe, you know, it's family and hockey, those two things. So that's what I've got going tomorrow. But, you know, if, you know, anybody that stayed up to watch the game last night, you just really do have to appreciate, you know, the level that he is still at. You know, to me, the best passer of his generation, at that fairly advanced age by the standards of today's National Hockey League.
Hard to disagree with that, but advanced age is interesting to me. And Eric, I want to introduce you to a word. This internet is fantastic. I don't know if you're on it, but it's fantastic because
I've heard about it.
It introduced me to a new word today, and it was in reference. I believe you were on the morning show yesterday talking a little bit about Christian Ehrhoff, who was in Los Angeles, cleared waivers, and was assigned. It is the exit level contract.
Right. Who came up with that?
I don't know. I found it on the Twitter machine today.
All right.
But the idea that, you know, we've seen the older players now finding harder to get contracts, and now we see these players that get signed to short-term deals with low, you know, dollars, that are, it's easy to send a guy like Christian Ehrhoff to the American Hockey League now on a deal like that.
Yeah. No, indisputable. There's no question about it. I have to say, though, I was surprised, given Vancouver's injury situation, that they wouldn't have taken a chance. Just because, you know, for all the reasons that you just cited, Rob, I mean, the numbers are not big to start with, and virtually two-thirds of those dollars have been burned off anyway. So, you know, the assessment around the National Hockey League must be that Christian Ehrhoff can't play anymore. And I know that in Los Angeles, they were concerned about a couple of things. One, you know, he never played a physical game, but he certainly doesn't play any physical game at all. And on a team that tries to have a lot of low-scoring wins, you know, they just found him too error-prone. So playing in Los Angeles system, where the goal is to try and win 2-1 and 3-2 every night, you just couldn't have the number of mistakes that they were getting for Christian Ehrhoff. That was the thing that was bothering them more. And on different teams where the margin of error may be a little greater, you know, there might be a temptation to take a chance on a guy. And I thought about Vancouver because, of course, he had some very good years for the Canucks before he got that free agent contract from Buffalo. But on the other hand, you have to remember that there's been, you know, a regime change since then, so that the current regime would have no loyalty to Ehrhoff or even any strong memories of the time that he had there. But it surprises me to some extent that for the minimal amount of dollars that you would have to invest, if you're a team that needs a short-term fix, especially at a time, you know, when there are teams casting about in the National Hockey League to try and get defensive reinforcements, you know, between now and the trading deadline, because if you're a team that thinks you can go a long way in the playoffs, you want to have a warm body or two on the sidelines just in case, because, you know, two rounds of the playoffs, boy, it can be a war of attrition, and sometimes having a guy that has some National Hockey League experience and some ability that you can plug in a role short term is a useful guy to have. So that was the part that surprised me. But you're right; it's a difficult time for players at the end of their careers, because, you know, there's only so many dollars in the game, and more teams are doing, you know, what Calgary is going to try and do with Gaudreau and Monahan. You know, get your core young pieces locked up, and then you find money, you know, to you know, pay the other guys that are not necessarily considered to be part of your core. And whether that's fair or not, that's just the way the game has evolved. And so, you know, teams have to deal with it. And you know, unfortunately, it's the players at the end of their careers, or even the ones that aren't necessarily at the end of the careers, but people don't want to give the term that they once did, you know, once you get north of 30. And it's just because, we've with the exception of some of the players we talked about, you know, Thornton is still playing at a high level, Jagr's playing at a high level, but you do see the bottom start to come out of guys that have had a lot of miles on them. And so as a result, you know, you don't want to give term, if you can at all help it, to the 30-somethings in the game. And, you know, to me, that's too bad, because I do believe in the seniority system, and I think that, you know, it would be better to pay guys as they move along. But again, that's not how the economics of the game have evolved, and so everyone has to deal with it.
No, as you're saying that, I'm thinking back to last year, you know, Anaheim picking up Corbin Holzer and James Wisniewski and all these bodies that they never even played. They just had them there. And, you know, on the 29th, we're going to look and go, why would they get him? And to your point, you know, why wouldn't a Christian Ehrhoff be plucked for nothing for that reason?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and again, I don't know, other than the fact that he really hasn't played very well. And everybody scouts really close the league really closely, and they would look at him and they would weigh the contract, they would weigh, you know, the history, because this guy at different times has been a very, you know, productive offensive player anyway. And then they would look at where he's at and they would say, just too risky at this stage of the game.
Always good to talk to you. It's a long weekend, so we won't talk to you again until next Wednesday. Enjoy it. Have a happy Valentine's Day. And as always, thanks for doing this, pal.
Okay, thanks, Rob.
Eric Dehatchuk from the Globe and Mail, globesports.com. All right, coming up, it's Flames at 5 for Pete the Plumber, the superhero of residential plumbing and heating. We're live at Shanks on Crowfoot Terrace in the Northwest because the Flames are in action tonight. They'll take on the Arizona Coyotes. We'll preview that game with Derek Wills, about 525, 530 in that range. But when we come back on Inside Hockey, Brad Pascal, assistant general manager with the Calgary Flames, joins us. We'll get an update on the Stockton Heat, with particular attention being paid to the fact that Yoni Ortio is back up with the club and may be here for a while. We'll talk to Brad Pascal about that next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Friday Night Hockey to start your long weekend. Flames in the desert to take on the Coyotes. Free game for Rogers Calgary Flames hockey starts at 6 p.m. live from Shanks Crowfoot with Steinberg. 60 minutes of NHL talk, Flames and Coyotes live from Glendale with Derek and Peter goes at 7. Don't forget the Friday night edition of the Hot Stove Lounge and Overtime Call-In Show. Flames and Coyotes, right here on Sportsnet 960. Rogers Calgary Flames Hockey is brought to you in part by the Alberta Ford Dealers and Alpine Credits.